You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, and Dan would text about people in the Bible, Belshazzar. Daniel saw, oh boy. You're all going to just have to bear with me a little bit today. Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he texted, he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts, everybody say beasts, came up out of the sea, different from one another. And skipping down a little bit. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of things. These four great beasts, everybody say beasts, are four kings who shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever, and ever. The word of the Lord. And now would you stand to your feet as Karina comes to read the Gospel of Luke this morning.
Good morning, Salem. A reading from the book of Joel, Ephesians chapter 1, 11 to 23. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him also, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord.
God, you may be seated this morning. So it was a strange experience. It has been a strange experience all weekend. The sermon topic for today is, we're in the Becoming Human series. And in November, one of the things I like to do in November is talk about household discipleship. So we like to talk about giving, we like to talk about attending, we like to talk about volunteering, we like to talk about what it means to be a member of a local church, which today and next week, we're going to be talking about what it means to be a member of the local church. And then everything with Dan happened, and I always joke about how I'm not emotional. I've been kidding. I'm a very emotional human being. The magnitude of it all is living in me. And I thought it feels petty to talk about local church membership in a moment like that. And One of the things that I have learned is to feel but not make decisions super fast. And so yesterday I went to Halvey Funeral Home in Beacon, and I met with members of the family, and we were planning the memorial service for Wednesday. And one of the things they did right there with me there was they came up with the obituary for Dan. And there wasn't much for me to do there. I helped wordsmith a line here or a line there. And then at the very end, Patrick Halvey, the funeral home director, says, "Was he the member of anything?" And the whole family looked at me and, like, literally in unison was like, "Salem Tabernacle." And I was just like, "He was." And a family member said, "If it wasn't for the people of your church and his membership there, he would have died a long time ago." And I realized in that moment, it is not petty to talk about local church membership. It can save people's lives. For any of us who have the luxury of saying, we will be a member or we won't be a member. And for most of us, we may forget to fill out the membership form. And it doesn't change much. We're here. We do what we do. That is a luxurious place to live where you can it can slip your mind to fill something out, but like nothing really changes. But there are people around us that need us to be members of a place. There are people in our midst that need others to be not just nominally, but committed, covenantally to a church. This ring on my finger tells all of you, tells my wife and me, that I have fallen in love so hard that I have shut off all of my other options. I can be married and in a great relationship with Jacqueline without it. By the way, it came off easily just now. I don't want anybody to think I got it too large for that reason or anything, but that was weird. It just came off very simple. Oof. I was like, am I going to have... I was like, oh, it just came right off. But there is a layer of reality that occurs when you stand and on paper you commit to saying, my... We were talking about it today in my office. I'm constrained to this place. I am rooted here. It can save people's lives. We are so high maintenance that we need such big phrases to get us focused. Your repetition in this house, whether you meet a person who's here or you never do, your repetition, consistency, and membership reflects your baptism, reflects that you know that you've been born anew into a new family of God, and the commitment heals and restores those who we meet and many more who we will never meet, but whose lives are changed because the church priests every Sunday. When you show up here in worship, people's lives change. When we commit to being to a local expression of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, we shake the very foundation of Satan's kingdoms and weaken them. This sermon is going to go through some very weird places because of Daniel, because in honor of our guy, I'm about to preach through a few chapters of the book of Revelation, but hold on 1 second. It would be fitting. We are called to be responders. We are made in the what of God? The image of God. We were meant to be reflections. We were never meant to be originators or initiators. We were meant to be responders. Image responds. Reflections respond. Yes? We were made. We were created to respond. Worship is a response to the presence of God. Worship is a response to. We have sometimes fooled ourselves into thinking that if we do, then God will show up. That's for Ouija boards. That is not for a Christian church. We come because God was already here and invited us. We show up because God's Spirit is what? Drawing us. Jesus said, "No one comes to my Father unless the Spirit draws him unto my Father." Everything we do is a response to the active, present, near presence of God in our life. We are made to respond, which is why the very first temptation to sin in the Bible was a temptation to initiate and stop responding. If you eat this fruit, you can do all the things that he's going to slowly teach you to do now without him. You can initiate your knowledge. You can initiate your power. You can initiate your plan and your way. You can initiate your goals. Go ahead, take and eat. You do the work. Don't wait for him. You do it. And the minute we initiate and don't respond, everything came crashing down. We're made to be responders. I think it's one of the reasons why we are moved by first responders, because we see the call of the church in first responders. Go to where the suffering is. Go to where the trauma is. Go to where the tragedy is and bring healing and rescue and restoration. I think we see our calling. I think we see the cross in first responders because we are called to be first responders of another sort. We're called to the wreckage of humanity and to remind it that it too will be restored. All things will be made new, and that is our call. That is why, we're getting somewhere with this, that is why on Sundays we do things like this. You ready? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. How about this? God is good. And all the time? You got some formal liturgies and you have some informal liturgies. But do you know why we do this? Do you know why when I say, everybody say amen? There's a reason why we talk like this in church, because we are training ourselves to respond to the right kingdom in a world where we're going to be trained to respond to the wrong one. Other things out there are going to say, lift up your hearts. And we're going to be tempted to say, I lift them up to the Republican Party. I lift them up to the Democratic Party. I lift them up to capitalism. I lift them up to, accumulation rooted in violence. I lift them up to colonizing as a good. We're tempted everywhere we go to lift up our hearts to something. We come here to remind ourselves that we are members of a kingdom that isn't out there. And so we lift up our hearts to the Lord. It is right and good always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That is our call. That is what we are called to. And there are kingdoms, there are beasts, and there are creatures. There are beasts that are seeking to devour our identity, and then there are creatures that are seeking to give it back to us. Listen to this from Fleming Rutledge in a sermon she preached in Toronto in 2011. The first epistle of Peter is a letter from a God's eye point of view, and the view it gives of the church. We can never say it often enough. The Bible is addressed for the most part not to individuals, but to the people of God. We need to say still more. As Peter puts it in various ways over and over throughout the letter, the people of God have been constituted not by their own preferences or choices, but by God's prior choice, first to Israel and then through Jesus Christ to the church. The church resists, endures, and conquers, not through its own effort, let alone its own merits, but because of the call, the commission, and the continuing presence of God. We are called to resist the secular powers out there, push them back through service and love, mercy, and forgiveness, and be the vessels that God is ushering his new kingdom in and through. Daniel's dream was, first of all, a dream that God gave him where? While he was in Babylon. He was in exile. He wasn't at home in his prayer chair with all of his little, pumpkin spice latte and fake fireplace and YouTube landscape. I'm just describing my life. All these things around him. He was in exile. He was in a dirty place. He was in a place where he was being treated terribly. He was given a new name. He was stripped of his identity. He and his friends, and then they were using him for their purposes. And in that moment, God gave him a dream of four, say it again, beasts. And an interpreter there said the four beasts are the kings of this earth. And the number four in the Bible often represents the whole world, north, south, east, west. They represent the secular powers, but we are not called to respond to those powers. I've said it before and I'll say it again. When Satan tempted Jesus and said, if you worship me, if you respond to me, right, I will give you these kingdoms. And we say in playful ways, Satan was tempting Jesus with Jesus' own stuff. But the reality is those kingdoms do not belong to Jesus. He's not a king of those kingdoms. He came not to be king of those kingdoms, but to rescue us from those kingdoms and to make us, as the book of Revelation says, a new nation of royal priests, a kingdom after God and his Christ. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel were in the fiery furnace because the four beasts cried out, follow us, bow to us, do what we do, prosper in our system. And they said, we will not lift up our heart to that, and ended up in the fiery furnace. We spend so much time trying to keep people from a fiery furnace, it may be that one of the blessings that we end up in one because we didn't bow to the secular powers around us. Read your Bible with some curiosity. It's very interesting. Daniel ends up in the lion's den. Why? Because he won't bow when the trumpet plays. He's not responding to the beasts, the kingdoms, the secularities of the world. He ends up in the lion's den. Jesus ends up on the cross because he doesn't bow. He doesn't lift up his heart when Caesar says to. He doesn't lift up his heart when the corrupt religious system says to. So he ends up on the cross. Peter, Paul, James, and the rest of the martyrs, the seed of the church, they were martyred because they didn't respond to the beasts when the beasts cried out. Just say that Caesar is Lord, and we will release you. And St. Polycarp says, today you're going to smell fresh baked bread when you start to light my body on fire. We're going to harm you today, they said to him. And he said, you can kill me, but you cannot harm me. He didn't bow. He didn't respond to the secular powers. There are times in all of our lives where we literally get in bed with powers that Jesus is trying to shake out of the world. Why didn't they respond? Because they were circumcised members of Israel and not Babylon. They were members of a different people. Whatever calls to you and you respond to it, that is what you're a member of. Here's a scarier way to say that. When something calls out to us and it evokes passion and emotion in us, we may be members of that. There's a reason why when our favorite politician wins, we wake up the next day very excited, and then we come in here on a Sunday and talk about the only one that is worth celebrating when he won, and we struggle. Because it's easier to be members of a kingdom we can see than of a kingdom we cannot see. But we are called to walk by faith and not by... One more quote, and then we will get weird for a moment. Eugene Peterson, in his book, Under the Unpredictable Plant, says this. We have a pair of mental operations, imagination and explanation, designed to work in tandem. When the gospel is given robust and healthy expression, the two work in graceful synchronicity. Explanation pins things down so that we can handle and use them, obey and teach, help and guide. Imagination opens things up so that we can grow into maturity, worship and adore, exclaim and honor, follow and trust. Explanation restricts, defines, and holds down. Imagination expands and lets loose. Both of those are important, by the way. Explanation keeps our feet on the ground. Imagination lifts our heads into the clouds. Explanation puts us in a harness. Imagination catapults us into mystery. Both are important. Explanation reduces life to what can be used, which is good. Imagination enlarges life into what can be adored. But our technological and information-obsessed age has cut imagination from the team. In the life of the gospel, listen, where everything originates in and depends on what we cannot see, but is worked out in what we can see, imagination and explanation cannot get along without each other. Remember that and write a report on it and hand it in next week. That's why the Bible has books in it called Numbers. Eric Davis's favorite book, Numbers. It's got Leviticus. It's got 1 and 2 Kings. It's got a book, two boring, 1 and 2 Chronicles. But then it's got books like the Song of Solomon, Ezekiel, Haggai, Philemon, Jude, the book of Revelation. Why? There's different literary devices in the text because it's not just what God wants you to know that matters. It's how he wants you to know it. That also matters. I can buy Theo a baseball glove and hand it to him on a Saturday and say, let's go out and have a catch. On Christmas, I could get him a baseball glove, put it in a box, wrap it in paper, and watch him open it. At the end of the day, he's getting to the glove, yes? But they're two different experiences. One is very functional and important, and let's go do it. And the other one is mystical, imaginative, intimate. It's different. Somebody said to me recently, why do we have to wrap gifts if we're just going to open them anyway? I'm like, you might be the most boring person I've ever met in my entire life. We are all drawn to one of the two. Some of us are drawn to the practical. Some of us are drawn to the mystical. Some of us are going to have to work hard today because we're about to get real mystical. Some of us are going to love this. Steve and I were talking about, Steve's like, but why do you have to use those verses to talk about membership? And I was like, I don't know. We'll just open some Christmas presents and find out. Steve would preach this message the exact same outcome, very differently than me. Know who you are, but also know what you need to work for. There's a reason why God wants to do it this way. You ready? Revelation chapter 4 and 5. Buckle up. Everybody say four beasts. Remember that. Daniel's dream. How many beasts? After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on those thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. 24 elders, because the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 disciples have not replaced each other, but they have unified into one holy Catholic and apostolic church. There is a root of anti-Semitism that goes through a lot of Christian teaching, and we have to be people who can uproot that and not give that any kind of space, because the church did not come to replace Israel. The church came as the fulfillment of what Israel's calling was always meant to be, and we join Israel. We don't replace them. That's why there's 24 thrones. That's why Jesus didn't say, he said, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. It's not an ending and then a beginning, it's a fulfilling. But if we are going to take up Israel's vocation, we should always stand up for and against any kind of rhetoric. We should be against any kind of rhetoric that speaks down about Israel. But we also should be proponents of what Israel's calling has always been, and that is to bless how many nations of the world? All the nations of the world, not blow them to pieces. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. Those are the churches that John is writing to. He's writing to seven churches, and he's saying to the churches, you, as you stand right now where you are, churches back then, and he's speaking to us today, I saw heaven, and I saw you there worshiping God. The seven torches, the seven spirits, those are the seven churches he's writing to, but the number seven represents completion, yes? So he's saying, I saw all the churches in heaven. I saw all the congregations and all the pastors. Every time I see heaven, I saw all of the worship that would ever take place. That's why we can be right here on Delavan Avenue in Beacon, New York, and Paul can say, you are seated where? In heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Not will be seated, you are seated. We just can't see it. In the same way that the army couldn't see Elisha's chariots. Didn't mean they weren't there. Couldn't see them yet. Where was I when that happened just now? And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, were four living... What was the first thing we said? Beasts. And now we hear four... This is interesting. Full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion... The second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. These are the four gospels of the church: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are four beasts in Daniel's dream, the secular powers of the world. And then in Revelation, there are four creatures. They have eyes all around. Why? Because the gospels are pure revelation. And they have different faces, but they're all doing the same thing. Why? Because God gave us four different perspectives on the life of Jesus Christ. So now watch this. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Let me tell you, let's open the first Christmas present. Every sentence of the Gospels of Jesus Christ, if anybody says to you, what does this mean? What does that mean? What does the Gospel mean? Here's one answer you can always give and be right. Here's what every inch of the Gospel means. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is what the Gospels are always saying. That is what the Gospels are always doing. They're telling us that this Jesus is also Lord Almighty. And he was, and he is to come. He was where all of that trauma in your life took place. He is in the midst of it now, and he will come again and continue to work in your life. This is what the Gospels are always saying. The four beasts are saying, come worship us, come serve us, come get rich, come get fat, come drink all the wine, come plunder the earth. The Gospels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now watch this. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So whenever the Lamb, whenever the King sits on the throne, the four Gospels say, holy, holy, holy. And whenever the Gospels say anything, the leaders of the church take their crowns, throw them on the ground, go to him with no merit, nothing good. They plunder themselves. And they go before him and they respond with a response. You see that? They respond to what the Gospels are doing. We were created to do what? Respond. We are going to respond to the beasts that devour, or we are going to respond to the creatures, the gospels that are full of the breath and life of Jesus. Both kingdoms are going to call out to us. Why is local church membership important? Because we are saying we are members of the gospels, not members of the kingdoms. And we come here and we call and response back and forth throughout the service, throughout the worship service, throughout the preaching sometimes, throughout the liturgy all the time. We come and we respond back and forth. Why? Because we are training our bodies for the kingdom of God. We are training our bodies to mimic here what is always happening in heaven all of the time. All of the time the gospels are saying, holy, holy, holy. And all the time the elders are taking their crowns off and throwing them down and saying, all of our worldly goods, everything we've accomplished, everything we've ever worried about, pales in comparison to worshiping the one that created all of us. And we are here in heavenly places that we cannot see, practicing the liturgy of what is happening in heaven. We are training ourselves out of the kingdoms of this world into the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Simply meaning this redemptive scroll from the book of Daniel, if you want to go home and do a little bit of nerd alert homework, this scroll cannot be opened. It's a redemptive scroll. When it's open, the world will be redeemed. But it cannot be open. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals?" Listen to this carefully. "And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and to look into it." You must be desperate if you're looking for somebody to help you in heaven, on earth, or in hell. Under the earth? Did you see it? Is it just my Bible? I saw it. "And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me," and I want to point out here, if you are elding in life, aging, elder, elderly, if you are getting older and you are wondering, what is my purpose now that I am getting older? I'm going to read you your purpose right now. It wasn't one of the young ones who said this. It wasn't me. After four surgeries, I'm still calling myself young. Sad. Grasping at straws, as they say. This is what they say. "And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me," this is your job as you get older, "weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." As you get older and feel like there's nothing left for me to do, here is what you always can do. You can always go to people who are weeping and say, "Weep not. Behold, I know someone who can break open the redemption that you are desperately craving." As you get older, you do less functional things so that you can sit where you are and know the one who can break the seals. You hear that? That is what you can do. And why are you qualified? Because you've lived enough life to know he's broken a lot of scrolls open in my life, took me out of a lot of things, and I can tell you my Redeemer lives because I've lived long enough to be able to tell you that truth. Still going. Still holding. "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders." Now, what did the elder tell him to see? Turn around. The what of the tribe of Judah? The Lion of the tribe of Judah has what? Conquered. So now he's like, "I want to see this." "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb," not a lion, "standing as though it had been" what? This was the lion that conquered. And I turn to see it, and I see a lamb that appears to have been slain. I've watched National Geographic TV zoning out in my life. This is not what lions look like. With seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. I want to pause. The one seated on the throne is Jesus, yes? But the lamb is also... See, this is where imagination has to kick in. This doesn't make sense. This is like a text from Dan Cahill. You have to sit there for a minute and say, what am I looking at before I start responding here? The one sitting on the throne is Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of, and the one who's the Lamb is also. See, but in, when they describe Jesus as the Lamb, they throw in, he had in him the seven spirits, which we said before were the seven churches. So now we've moved from Christ as King to Christ, the body of Christ, which is the church. See this? There's a prophetic move was just made. So now we're still talking about Jesus, but we're talking about Jesus in the form of his church, not in the form of his singular self as King. One doesn't cancel the other out, so let that explode your brain. But we are now switching metaphors for a second. Imagination, open the Christmas present. Okay? And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the Gospels, and the 24 elders, the church, fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Why? Because it's partly our job to take the prayers of the people around us that have trouble praying to God and pray them to God for them. This is what it means to be priests. It's to say to God the things that the hurting people around you cannot say for themselves. It's to turn into a heavenly language what the hurting ones around us, the jaded ones, the traumatized ones, the beat down ones, the oppressed ones, the ones under the system that can't figure out what to say. We hear the groan and we turn it into words and pour it out before the throne of God. That is what it's called to be a priest, and that is also what we do as members of a local church. Spit all over my Bible. My Bible just got COVID. I'm just kidding. I don't have COVID. The Lamb opens the scrolls, and they sang a new song, the elders. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood, not by your good arguments, not by your education, and not by your sword, tanks, guns, bombs, dome, or anything else, by your easy for us to get tempted to not want to be part of this kingdom. Do you see that? This kingdom costs you your life. Offered. The Greek Orthodox Church says it perfectly. He trampled down death by death. He trampled down death by death. Those who live by the sword, the one who died by the sword will live from grace, mercy, and truth. You see that? It's part of our song. By your blood, you ransom people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Why is he the one worthy to receive wealth? Because he's the only one who won't hold on to any of it, but give it all so that we can receive it. And they're singing about it. The creatures sing. The elders sing, the angels sing. And I heard every creature. Now watch this. you do the math, okay? And I heard every creature where? In heaven and on earth and where? And the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. That is enough of the book of Revelation for today. There is, this is all of your favorite word, there is a liturgy everywhere you go. When you go to the mall, you park in the store. You drive right through the doors and park in Sears. Is Sears still open? It's not, right? Where am I at? Oh, I've been praying and reading. I'm sorry. I didn't know. You park in a parking spot. You walk through a corridor. You see your stores. Those stores have things in them related to the sign that's on the store. This is called liturgy. You go to a stadium, there's a flyover, there's pageantry, there's music, there's the flag, there's introductions, there's people getting amped up. You go to the university, sororities, all kinds of things going on that gather you, that identify you, that call you to something larger than yourself. Everywhere you go has a liturgy. We come into this building, and there is a call to worship, and there's scripture read over your life. And there's a worship service that calls you to sing together and praise together and remind each other of the goodness of God. There's a sermon that is redundant and just keeps telling you about the goodness of God. And then there's a table where we offer our sins to God in repentance, receive his mercy in our lives, and we do the most important thing we could ever do, and that is sit down and fellowship with each other at a table. What are you a member of? What gets the most of your fellowship? The beasts or the creatures? What gets most of your time, talent, and treasure? The beasts or the creatures? What gets your best effort when you show up? The beasts or the creatures? What is so easy? It's so easy to become a member of a gym and never go. But it's easy to become a member. And then we balk at becoming a member of the church. Come, become a member here and never go. I'm just kidding. Do we treat the church like we treat the gym? I'm just asking them questions, Jeff. I'm not telling them any answers. That is all. Let's stand to our feet. Ian, did you steal my music stand someplace? I don't know where it went. Is it around me? Anywhere? Does anybody see it? Thank you, Jacqueline. You can come right over here. So let's call and respond, shall we? Let's start with this. Let's confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Are you ready? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Salem, put your hands over your heart. Salem Tabernacle, may Almighty God have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep you in eternal life. And everybody said, amen. Let's confess the Christian faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. That is exactly who we lift them up to. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name, saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your perfect will, a perfect sacrifice for the world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me. Therefore, together, we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. See, that is what the Gospels were saying in Revelation. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, recalling his death and resurrection. We offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, and I would like to hear you pray, Our Father, kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Receive them in faith. Nourish on him in your heart. I'm going to ask if Elder George and Elder Ron would come forward. As you come to the table of the Lord today, we have to always empty our hands of something so that we can receive the bread. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where your true membership lies. What really has captured your heart? What really motivates you the most? What triggers you the most? Ask yourself if it is the kingdom of Jesus and if it's defined by the cross. And if it's not, let it go today and receive the bread of the new kingdom, the meal of the new kingdom. The ushers will release you from the back of the room.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle Podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.